live and move and have our being in you. We thank you, Lord God, that we have an opportunity to worship you, that we're here in this place. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for our church. We thank you for the fellowship of believers, Lord God. We thank you for the safety we have here. We thank you, God. And as we stand, we remember those who are brothers and sisters and our neighbors and, God, fellow citizens who are going through difficult times now. God, we remember them and our hearts go out to them, Lord God, from Texas to Florida to Puerto Rico to Lord God, to the Caribbean islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and all of that, Lord God. We remember them today because we have not forgotten that it could happen to any of us. It has already happened here and will happen again. We know that, Lord God, it's by your grace and mercy. And so we thank you for our lives today. We are grateful to you, Lord God. And we pray that you are God, that we are trusting in you to bring us through, to bring all of our fellow citizens through this horrific time, Lord God. Have mercy. Have mercy upon us. You says in your word that if your people are called by your name, should humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you'll hear from heaven and you'll forgive our sins and you'll bless our land. Lord God, we are asking you to hear from heaven, Lord God, as we stand in the gap for those who will not pray, and we stand in the gap who are so weak and weary now they don't have the strength to pray, Lord God, or they're disillusioned. We stand in the gap for them, Lord God, and we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. And we beseech you, Lord God, to hear from heaven. Hear from your holy place this morning and have mercy upon us. Grant mercy upon them this day, Lord God. And holy God, as I stand here before you to preach your word, Lord God, to speak a word on your behalf, I pray that you'll put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior, you are our Redeemer, you are our Lord, you are our provider, Lord God. And we trust in you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
And today, you know, as we stand and as we think and as we reflect, there's certainly so much to complain about. There's a lot that we could complain about in these times. There's a lot going on that we can bring to the Lord in complaint, in a lament. There's a lot going on, from the threat of nuclear war to all the natural disasters that are happening, and also in our own lives, the everyday things that are happening in our own lives that we are contending with, and in our own churches, but in our personal lives, sickness and death and disappointment. We have to trust in God. It seems so overwhelming at times that we don't know what to do. I often think that people who don't believe in God or don't believe in something bigger and greater outside of themselves that could bring us through this, I don't know what they do. I don't want to find out, but I don't know what they do. Because if I didn't believe in Jesus and follow God, I'd probably go crazy. And I'd be so overwhelmed. I don't think there's enough drug or alcohol that would keep me sane. So I pray for my brothers and sisters and fellow citizens who have to use other things as means of comfort. But thanks be to God for those of us who believe and could call on the name of Jesus. My sermon title today is The Art of the Careful Complaint. Yes, we can complain, but we have to know who we're complaining to and why we're complaining and what happens. But let me begin with a slightly humorous story, and it's called 100 Points. And it says, a man dies and goes to heaven. Of course, St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates. St. Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you have done, and I give you a certain number of points for each of them, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, you get in. Okay, the man says, I was married to the same woman for 50 years, and I never cheated on her, even in my heart. That's wonderful, says St. Peter. That's worth 3 points. The man says, 3 points? And then he says, well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministry with my tithe and service. Terrific, says St. Peter. That's certainly worth a point. 1 point, the man says. I'm telling you, I'm reading this whole story, and I thought, God, what do I have to do? Well, I started a soup kitchen in my city, and I worked in the shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic. That's good for 2 more points, he says. 2 points? The man cries. At this rate, the only way to get into heaven is by the grace of God. And St. Peter smiled. There's your 100 points. Come on in.
Amen.
Only by the grace of God any of us are getting in. We cannot rack up enough points to get in. Do you see? And these stories, this especially the narrative from the gospel is going to show us, it's all about the grace of God. We could work forever. We could keep our points on our little BlackBerry and our little iPhones and our Samsung about all the good we are doing. But remember now, we cannot work our way into heaven. We Methodist believers. We're not Calvinists. We're not somebody else. We are Methodist believers. And we believe in the amazing grace of God.
Amen.
And that's only by God's grace. And so we know that we complain. A complaint is an expression of grief, pain, or dissatisfaction. You know, we're dissatisfied with something, we complain. Do you know you could do something for someone all the time? You could do the best you can, and the moment you don't do one thing, they complain. Do you know we're like that? We tend to have short memories, right? We complain. We can be very complaining people, all of us. God is going to tell Moses that later on, that, you know, he does not like a complaining people, right? He was going to turn his back on them. That's later on in Exodus. Sometimes they always say, you say you could give a person a glass of milk, and the moment you only have 3/4, they complain. They forget what you've done for them. And church folks, we are no exception. We can be some of the biggest complainers in the world. Do you know that? Church folks, all of us. And we complain about, you know, everything. If something is moved from point A to point B, we complain. We just keep complaining. And if it's not, we don't get what we want, we complain. Short memories. Well, during their desert wanderings, you see, the Israelites complained. Complaining to God is not always bad. We realize in this story that complaining to God is not always, it all depends on what you're complaining about and how you complain. If you're going to complain with understanding that Creator God, you know, has given you so much, and then something doesn't go the way you want it, you can go to God with a lament. You got to understand that. But just complaining for the sake of complaining, God is not impressed. You know, there are people who complain just for the sake of complaining. Do you know that? They just complain. So yes, the Israelites complain against Moses and Aaron whenever they faced a crisis. They would complain. We know if you read Exodus, poor Moses and Aaron. I don't know, he didn't strangle some of them. You know, in reality, however, they were not complaining against Moses and Aaron. They were complaining against God. against the Lord. You see that in Exodus 16:8. And Apostle Paul warns us to follow the example, not to follow their example in 1 Corinthians 10. He warns us, don't follow that example. But in this case, this time in the wilderness, it seems that their complaining helped them. Right? Because we just read the text read, and the Bible tells us that the whole company of Israel, they complained against Moses and Aaron that they were in the wilderness. The Israelites said, you know, they start complaining, why didn't God just let us die in the comfort in Egypt where we had lamb stew and all the beef, the bread we could eat? Now remember, they had been in they had been Egyptian captivity, and they had been beaten and broken and treated badly. And yet they forgot. They were now in the wilderness, and for one brief moment they got a little bit hungry. And they started complaining. And they're giving Moses a hard time. And now they're saying, you should have left me in captivity. Left me where I was, God. Why did you bring me there? Let me stay there. What short memories we have. We should not have short memories. Have you ever done good for someone, church? You know what I'm talking about. You've done good for someone. You've done it and you've tried your best. And the moment you can't do it, you're at the top of their complaint list. Right? The moment you can't do it, now church, you know what I'm talking about. You could give them money, you could make way for them to do things, you could open up doors for them, you could step on hot bricks for them, and the moment you can't do one thing, they've got you on the list. But I always say, you're not really, if I'm not hearing it, you're not complaining about me, you're complaining to God. So here they are, they're in the wilderness now and they're complaining. And so Moses is now overwhelmed. Could you imagine poor Moses? You know, later on, they're going to keep complaining that Moses is going to not reach a promised land because of their complaint. Later on. Because he's going to do what God, they got him so frustrated, he's going to do what God told him not to do by hitting the rock. That's for later in the text. But this time he went to God. And God is going to relent. God is going to answer their prayer. Their complaint. He says, I'm going to test them to see if they are living according to the teaching or not. So he's going to give them the bread. It says, on the sixth day, when they prepare what they have gathered, he will make sure they have food. He's going to give them bread and meat. They could only collect the bread on one day and the meat on the next day. It's going to rain it down from heaven, the manna, and give them food to eat. So their complaining worked. Right? They were complaining for a need, right, of hunger. God listened, and God relented, and God granted. And that's good news for us this morning, church, isn't it? That we can complain to God when it's really necessary, and all we have said, I told the church this morning, my little group this morning, that when I saw in the news on last week that there was in Mexico a church. And why it stayed with me so, and it still is staying with me, and I'm still working on my heart and working through the through prayers with the Lord, it was a baptism. And we had just done a baptism last week. They were baptizing this baby, 11 people in a family. And the church in Mexico came down in the earthquake. The entire 11 people died at that baptism, even the 2-year-old baby. And when I read it, because I had just come out of here, it touched my heart so I couldn't stop crying. And I said to the Lord, why this church? Why this baptism? Why God? Why this baby? Why this family? Why God? Why couldn't they have been saved? And I thank God for a God of grace that allows me to say, God, my heart is broken and I don't get it. I thank God. I thank God that God allows us to say that. Allows us to bring our lament to him and to seek him and be able to get hope and care from him, because he understands that we're only human and that our heart breaks and that we wouldn't want to see that. And yes, in all of that, my consolation was, the only consolation I had at the moment was, Lord God, they're home with you now, Lord Jesus. And I prayed none of them are suffering under any of those rocks or bricks in my spirit. Do I fully understand it? No, but I trust God. And so we have a place where we could go to God and have a complaint. We could go to God. That's what the laments in the Psalms are. The lament when David says in the Psalms, am I going to die on my bed, God? Have you forgotten me? Have you ever read some of those Psalms of lament? You need to read them. They're not only Psalms of praise and worship. They're Psalms of deep lament. Oh, God, have you forgotten me, David would say. All right, will you let me die on my sick bed, God? But then yet he would get to the end of his lament and call on the name of the Lord. And so we see today that God will hear our lament in this text. But in the other text, we see this kind of complaining, which is kind of envious complaining, unnecessary complaining, right? A kind of covetousness. You know the word to covet. We talk about it before in the Old Testament. You know, it is not a good thing to covet, right? And to covet is to desire wrongfully or without due regard the rights of others, to be jealous and envious of the rights of others, right? So the story tells us today, church, the story tells us about this farmer. And this farmer is going to have some unnecessary complaints, right? And what a parable. I tell you, Jesus is so, what a profound storyteller he was, and still is. So here it is now, the farmer comes in, it's morning, Jesus wants to tell him a parable. You know, he's dealing with Peter and the rest of them who wants to know, get answers for everything. And so Jesus says, let me tell you this story, because he's hearing the complaints, right? And he says, the farmer got up in the morning, farmer Joe gets up in the morning, right? And he goes out, he needs workers, and he goes to this place, and he saw some folks standing out there, some migrant laborers standing out there. We know we have them all over Long Island. They were there from back then, standing in the corners looking for work. And he picked them up. He could call them. Didn't have an SUV or a truck to put them in, but they all walked together. And he brought them and he gave them, and he says, you need work. It was early. It was in the morning, 9 in the morning or something. The time is all in the text. And he says, do you need work? And they said, yes. And he says, I'll pay you a dollar for the day. Let's say a denier, a dollar for the day, if you work on my farm. And they said, yes. And they went to work. Well, about 3 hours later, because he's a farmer who's working. You know, he's a farm. The story is about this farmer who's, and he must have a lot of work. He goes back outside and he sees what? He sees another bunch of laborers. It's now midday. And he says, why are you standing here? They says, we're looking for work. And we don't have any work, and we have been waiting. And he says, will you work for a dollar? And they said, yes. And he says, come on in. Go to work. Well, they're working, and maybe there's more work. And he goes out, let's say he goes out at 3 o'clock. Now remember now, the guys who got the dollar in the morning, they've been working from in the morning. The one who was getting the dollar at 12, is working from 12. Now he goes to 3 and he sees Susan and Linda and a bunch of the women workers come late. And they're looking for work. They're standing out there looking for work. And it's now 3 and he says, you're looking for work? They says, they're looking for work all day. Now we just showed up here and we're still looking for work. And he says, will you work for a dollar? And they said, yes. And he sent them in. And they all went, they all are working. Now guess what happens, church? This is the text now. I'm giving it to you in color. Guess what happens, church? When the work was done and the one who was working from 9 in the morning and 12 and 3, they all got the same dollar. They got angry. How come we have been working all day? And we got a dollar. And then Susan, she came at 3 and she got a dollar. Right? And Linda had come at 12 and she, how could that be fair? That's not fair, God. And Jesus is going to have a message for them. He says, you can't tell me what to do with my money. You can't tell me how to spend it, who to give it to. You agreed to a dollar and I gave you a dollar for your day's work. I paid you and you came. Now here's the moral of the story for us. Here's the moral for you and me in this text. God's grace extends to everyone.
Amen.
He is the one who controls grace. Oh yes, let's say I've been in the church all my life, brought to the church even when I didn't want to go, when I was a little bit and would cry and don't want to go. My mother would drag me to church. So I've been following Jesus all my life, willingly, unwillingly, and very willing now. Following him. Sometimes I would fall off, sometimes, you know, get busy. But so I've been in the church. Like a lot of you have been in the church all your life, and God's grace has been extended to you, right? But guess what? The person who has never been to church, who is now 50 years old and have never followed Jesus, haven't heard anything about Jesus, guess what happens? When they show up and they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they get the same salvation you receive who started at 5.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Do you understand? The same. You can't tell God. You could get mad at God. You can't stop God. It's no use coveting them getting it, because it's his grace that he extended on the cross to Jesus Christ. Grace, amazing grace. You can't tell him, the prostitute who has never been to church, a drug dealer who has never been to church, who one day maybe at 80 years old get up and say, I want to follow Jesus. I'm going to accept him as my Lord and Savior. He's going to get to heaven as long as they repent and accept him, just like me and you. Right? And we should be rejoicing and not what?
Amen.
Be jealous that it's not good enough for them. Do you understand? It is God's unmerited favor. Amen. Granted to all. Freely given.
Praise God.
Thanks be to God for that. When you say, yes, Lord, to your will and your way, given. Sometimes people will say, oh, I've been in the church all my life, and I should get this. No, you've been in the church all your life because God is, you know that God has been good to you. You've made up your mind to serve or to do it for whatever reason you choose. It is your giving back to God or wanting to be a relationship with your church. You made that decision. Ah, and to whom much is given, much is required. Because think about it. If you've known God for a long time, you have had the opportunity and the ability to go down on your knees and seek God's face and pray for God and know that he's there for you. And that person might have been suffering all along. So guess what? I want to rejoice when one who has not been following Christ turns to Christ. Huh? Isn't that the moral of that story? All right, and one who has not been following. I told this morning about a chaplain, and it's a true story. And he was at this hospital. It was up in Connecticut. And you know when your chaplain's on the floor, Akia knows that, when your chaplain on the floor, they call you on different floors, right? If you're MICU or whatever, you have to go for prayer and give prayer. And this chaplain went to this room, and this man was in the bed. He was 90-something years old. Anywhere from 96 to 98. I can't remember the age, but he was in his 90s. And he was laying in the bed, and the chaplain went in, and he was near. He was very, very ill. And the chaplain went over this, the moral of this story. It's such a good story to remind us that God's grace. Oh, I'm so excited about that. I have a brother that I'm praying for. And I'm glad that God's grace extends to him. So when he chooses to come back and go start going to church, that God's grace is extending to him. Huh? And to whomever, whatever family member that I have, or all my unsaved loved ones, that God's grace extends to them when the time comes, right? All of us. And so this man is in the bed, and he's very ill. Chaplain goes, doesn't want really, sometimes they don't want prayer, but most people, lots of times in the hospital, you go in and they're polite, and they said to the chaplain, he says, oh, you know, I have never believed in this God and this Jesus. He'd been an atheist, never believed in this, any of this, he says. Really believed in it. He says, could you tell me something about this God and Jesus? And of course, the chaplain slowly is, you know, telling him that God loves him, and if, you know, and so on, and if he chooses to accept Christ, you know, the Lord will be with him, and he will, and he's listening in the bed and whatever the chaplain is telling him. And then he said to him, he says, do you believe that he would still, for all these years, I think he had started in the church as a young man, but as an adult,
He says, for all these years I haven't served God. I haven't believed. Didn't want to hear anything about it. Do you think he'll still receive me? Do you think he would still believe me? This older man and the chaplain took his hand and says, yes, if you accept him now, if you open your heart and receive him, he will receive you into his kingdom. He will receive you like he did the thief on the cross, who was a murderer and a killer. And before he died, he says, I forgive you. Tomorrow you'll be with me in paradise. What a savior. And he took the man's hand and he prayed for him. And he accepted Christ as his savior that moment. And this older man wept. A few hours later, he was going home to be with Jesus. So let me tell you something. This is the grace we talk about. I don't care who don't want to believe. You better render your heart, because guess what? God is going to say here, we can't tell God what to do. God is going to grant grace to whomever he grants grace to. And that's why I love this religion that I follow. And that's why I love this Jesus that I follow. Because it's a grace-bound religion. Grace upon grace, God's grace. Grace that is sufficient for you and for me. God's grace, God's amazing grace that will save you and me from sin. And so today in this parable, we are reminded that there's nobody unworthy to receive God's grace. Sometimes we think people are unworthy, and we're worthy because we've been in church all our life, so we're worthier than them. That's not true. There's no degree in worthiness with God. Right? I said that yesterday as I closed. Said it yesterday. We tend to want to grade everything we do. We grade who's worthy, who's not. We grade who can pray and who can't. We put grades on things. That's a human condition and a waste of time. There's no A, B, C, D, E, F with God. We are all extended the same grace. And no one can stop him from giving it to us. And so in gratefulness, the art of grateful complaint is about what? Knowing that, yes, we could go to God and complain, but we are grateful for what God has done for us. We go with thanksgiving. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, with supplication, make your request be made known unto God. That means you could go with your petition to God, but with prayer and thanksgiving, thanking him for what he has already done for you and your family and your children and your grandchildren. And you ought to thank him for what he's doing right now in your lives, and thanking him for what he's yet to do. Because he will. He will be there for us no matter what we're going through. And so we know that God's amazing grace extends to us. So friends, be joyful. Be joyful and remember that the Lord listens to your prayer, my prayer, your complaint, my complaint. And his grace extends to all of us.
Amen.